Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Before we start, Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee!
Are you ready?
Look at the gods, the drugs, the marching in ration. It is a sin, the gods, the beast, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on, come on, come on, let's get it out.
Awesome!
Drink it in, man.
You just made the list.
And you can't beat that!
Top guys out!
Glorious!
We're here.
Commissioner! He's a 6-foot commissioner! Out of Commissionerville, USA! It's P.C. Tunney!
And the crowd goes wild!
And a chief content editor and engineer, the producer live of the DWI podcast. He's a 5'11 engineer on Engineersville. It's him. It is him. It's DPP. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States
of the Americas. And I am joined, as always, by the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It is him. It is him. It doth be DPP.
Your inebriator in the era of awesome podcast degenerates. Welcome to the sesquicentennial.
That's right, sesquicentennial.
150 episodes of the DWI Wrestling Podcast. The greatest tag team never has been going on for quite some time, PC Tunney. How about that?
Yes.
Hey, how about
Buck
that?
50, baby.
That's Buck fucking crazy. 50. I know usually we save that applause for Aesop Mitchell, but you know what? I think we deserve it today. That's right.
Yeah. So a little Barry Horowitz action there. Mm. Thanks for continuing to listen while we pat ourselves on the back here at the beginning of the DWI podcast.
Thanks for putting up with our shenanigans for 150 episodes.
But seriously, folks, thank you to everybody that's listened to the show. Thank you, everybody that's come on the show. 150 episodes is a spot that we're very proud of.
Oh, it's incredible. We put a lot of work into this, and I think we've gotten a full year's worth of practice before we started to even try to go live, and we've been going on for so long that we've gotten better and better every day, I think.
That's what people are saying. All right, DPP, let's get into the 150th episode right here on that podcast known as Dizzle Wizzle I Izzle, the DWI podcast. Ooh. Maybe that was bad. But anyway, hey, DPP, today, what's on the big show sheet?
Well, it's the big show.
I'll answer my own question. I'll tell you what's on the big show sheet today. We're gonna we got some random Raw and SmackDown notes and a last call on the future of this very podcast and big things to come for yours truly and DPP. So, on that note, ring the bell.
150 bell rings right there. I'm not gonna tone the bell 150 times, but you know, we'll just do it once.
Oh man, the bell has been well maintained. It remains crisp.
That's right. That's right. That's what a good soundboard does.
First thing I want to talk about, obviously, we're going to start off with Raw, is going to be what we're going to see next week on Raw. We had Seth Rollins versus Cesaro, which was awesome to see in the ring. We can all agree, anytime you can put two guys of that in-ring ability along with the characters that they portray is something fun to watch. But next week, we could be getting The Bar, Rollins, and Ambrose. DPP, your thoughts on this possible tag team matchup?
It's going to be an awesome rematch. I mean, every time we've seen both these teams in the ring, they've been entertaining, to say the least. I mean, we all know since Cesaro and Sheamus have been together that they've been just incredible together, and they've gotten better and better as a tag team. And, you know, didn't think they would go this long, but they've proved us wrong, and they've been pretty awesome. And Rollins and Ambrose can go all day. And, you know, so it's going to be interesting with this match to see what they decide to do here, if they're going to give, you know, the straps back to the Shield here, Rollins and Ambrose, and let them carry the tag titles and Roman Reigns with the Intercontinental title for a while, or, you know, maybe they'll go a different route and just keep it with Sheamus and Cesaro for a little bit. I don't know what they have planned going forward right now.
Let's get a little bit more in depth on the Shield here. How do you see them separating in the future? Because this can't go on forever, or does it? You think now they just stay linked and they kind of do their own separate storylines, but at the same time, they're still friends? Or do you see separation? Do you still see the possible Rollins-Ambrose feud as we move towards WrestleMania? Give me your thoughts on the Shield moving forward.
Well, I've always been kind of on board with Rollins and Ambrose feuding eventually again, with this time with Ambrose going heel. But, you know, it doesn't seem like they're going to go that way. You know, they brought the Shield back together totally, which I didn't think they were going to completely do at this point in time, but I think they've done it well, and I think that they've, set it up good so that you can have these guys together without necessarily being together, and I think it's a really good way to go with it, because, you know, you can bring them back together whenever, you know, they're needed. It's almost like the Avengers kind of thing, you know, hey, when we need them, they'll be there, so they can keep them all baby faces. And I think it's working really well that way, and I think they need to keep going with that. Whether or not they keep Ambrose and Rollins together as a tag team for that much longer, or they eventually split and go there, you know, do their separate thing like Reigns is doing right now. And whenever they're needed to kick somebody's ass, they can come together and they can reform the Shield and be the group and have a good six-man tag match at whatever pay-per-view, random pay-per-view they want, or, you know, they have a lot of options doing it that way, so I think they could easily do that, because, you know, you could put Rollins or Ambrose or Reigns in a title match any pay-per-view, and it's going to be great. So I think what they're doing right now, they need to keep doing what they're doing and leave them like this, where they're split but can come together at any time.
Let's move forward and talk about another trio, a new trio called Absolution. Paige, Mandy, and Sonya. Talk to me a little bit about how you feel the WWE bringing up from NXT Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. Hey, the first cheap pun. I'm still torn with these two factions that they've started to put together.
And we'll get to the other one on the SmackDown side.
Yeah. It's an odd pairing, you know, just because it's three random people kind of thrown together. I think I would, you know, if I was the playing armchair booker, I might have grouped them a little differently, but, again,
okay, let's play that game. Let's play that game. Can I go first since you already have yours in mind?
Yes, you can.
All right. Boy, I wish we had like a maybe we need to have like a random armchair booking sound, right? Like a recliner reclining or something.
We do need some kind of armchair booker segment.
We're always striving for better sound bites on the show, folks. If you have an idea, make sure you follow us at Podcast DWI on the Twitter. That way you can just, you know, throw them out to me. I'm always on there. I'm always checking it out. Or you can go on Facebook, right, DPP?
That's right. I check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/DWI podcast. Post anything up on there, like it, do what you will.
One of the biggest parts of our Facebook page, too, is the local indie promotion, Bruce City Wrestling, which is an unbelievable promotion to follow, to go see live. What amazing stars. What a great owner and former superstar in his own right, Frankie the Thumber DeFalco. They got an amazing champion right now in Max Holiday. You can find him everywhere. Check out the Ha Pod. Right?
Ha Pod. It's an excellent podcast.
Morning After podcast. Aesop Mitchell is a big, you know about him on this show. He's a part of BCW, the Beer City Bruiser, His Holiness, Sean Priest. Who else am I? The Heathens, my goodness.
All the Heathens. Roadhouse, AC Shadows.
Hardcore Impact.
You got the Bruce City Commissioner, the JP.
My goodness.
You got Sierra, Evil Disc.
Like Dweeb and some of the young ladies they got going on over there, too. Not to mention Dysfunction, Sierra, and everybody else that I haven't mentioned right now. So, and for all those Bruce City Wrestling needs, DPP, we're on Instagram?
We are, and it's me, DPP.
And for tickets and information on all their shows, go to Bruce City Wrestling 1. That's Bruce City Wrestling, the number one, BruceCityWrestling1.com. All right, now that we got that out of the way, I'm going to tell you how I would personally have put these teams together. And now that I'm looking at it, I think maybe I would have only made one trade.
Okay.
And that's to put Ruby Riott with Paige and Sonya and bring Mandy over with Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan, because Sarah Logan could be the sole muscle to Mandy and Liv's glam, whereas Ruby Riott and Sonya Deville could be the clear followers to Paige's path of destruction.
I can dig that. That's close. I definitely would move Ruby Riott.
But at the same time.
I don't know about that, dude.
So here's what I
hold on, dude.
Here's what I would do.
Gotcha, brother.
brother.
Gotcha. I got you, bro.
Hold on, dude.
Hey, bro, just tell me who you got.
Hold on, dude.
Bro, spit it out, bro.
Hold on, dude.
Make it happen, bro.
I would have put Paige, Ruby Riott, and Sarah Logan together. And put them. I at least would have had Paige and Ruby Riott, because I think they seem very similar, and I think they could be a very good tag team together. They kind of have the same mannerisms, but I get why they put somebody like Ruby Riott on her own, because I think she's better at leading that team. If you have Sonya Deville, Liv Morgan, Mandy Rose together, you don't have an established name that came from NXT. Necessarily like a bigger name like Ruby Riott, I guess, because people knew her from NXT. You didn't really know the rest of them too much. They weren't on television as often as the other ones, except for Sarah Logan. She was getting a little more play, but I would have brought somebody else up, I think, like an Ember Moon or somebody to lead the other side of that faction and put them, Ember Moon, Liv Morgan, Mandy Rose, maybe together.
Two things. Ember Moon to me doesn't seem, and I'm not saying you're wrong. Ember Moon to me does not seem like a faction person, right? Now, maybe a lot of people don't until they're in a faction. So I'll give you that one.
Sure. And that's kind of what I'm saying there with, like, you know, you don't know until they really start working together here.
But at the same time, I think Mandy and Liv are a little bit more well known than you think, especially from their recent headlines, some unfortunate headlines that they've both had outside of wrestling, of the wrestling world. Mandy's had an unfortunate passing, and Liv's had an unfortunate experience with Enzo. So they're a little bit more well-known than you think. So I think they could have made something happen. But I like what they've done overall.
I'm enjoying the fact that they have some more women up there, and that they're trying to do something different other than just have six women tag matches that, or six women, you know, fatal six way or whatever the hell you want to fucking call it for every woman that's on the roster, because they only have five or six on each side to determine who's going to be the number one contender, and then that's it, and that's all the storylines they've done. This seems to be another extension to the women's division. It adds intrigue. It adds a whole different type of story and a faction. And you know how much I love my factions. So it gives a lot more to this women's division. And if they do it right, it can be really fun. It can be really entertaining. And right now, especially with what we've seen on Raw, personally, I think they're doing really, really good things with that, with kind of teasing, attacking Asuka. You know, you're not really sure what they're going to do there. And, you know, beating up some people, but, you know, letting others go, so you know you don't really know if someone's going to join the team or if they're going to, you know, if they're just going to take over as heels and only attack, you know, baby faces, or they're just going to go after everybody. So it's really neat to see something different from the women's division, and hopefully they capitalize on it.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's just one of those things where, you know, is it too much too soon, right?
Right. And I think we talked about this a little last week too, about, you know, it's identical between Raw and SmackDown. You know, you did two groups of three. They kind of came in the same way. They both had six woman tag matches, you know, on the shows this week.
Do you think that it happened in the back where a writer came up with it and they're like, someone's like, oh, we should do this on Raw. We should do it on SmackDown. And Vince went, well, let's do it on both.
Let's just do it on both. Better. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Have they split writers yet? Or are they both doing Raw and SmackDown?
Well, that's the thing. From what we heard, they haven't split, right?
Right, right. So
they're trying to do this whole thing where it's competition back and forth. And Christopher Platt is the biggest proponent of this problem. Is how can you have different shows without different writing teams? And that's something I wanted to bring up, and I'm glad you brought this up, because this is what I thought when I was watching SmackDown. How are you differentiating each other from one another? Because you're produced the same way, you have the same look, you have the same style show. Why doesn't one have a different style show than the other? You know? If you're brilliant enough to come up and dominate the market, right, why can't you come up with something that's not Raw, that's not Ring of Honor, that's not Impact, but it's SmackDown? Why can't SmackDown be something completely different? And it's not. It's just Raw Junior, and it's 2 hours. And the big problem is 2 hours is better than 3 hours. So I digress. I don't know. Yeah. My whole thought where you took us there was remembering when watching SmackDown, I thought, why can't SmackDown do something to differentiate themselves from Raw and truly make it a competition?
Can't argue with that.
All right, let's move on to the next topic, as we're really getting in depth here on the 150th sesquicentennial edition of the podcast, known as DW Izzle. I'm not going to get that over.
The Izzle?
let's get to the second part of the storyline between with Absolution. I'm going to little jump ahead here on Raw. Later on, during a match that Asuka would have and win, they would come out in almost a Shield-style manner and surround the ring, right?
Right.
It's like, hey, let's do the women's Shield, and let's do it on Raw. No, let's do it on SmackDown. Okay, we already did that. So, but tell me how you felt about them letting Asuka go. I thought that was kind of cool. I actually am enjoying this faction, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so far I'm liking the Raw one, and that's kind of what I was talking about a few minutes ago, was that they let her go, which makes it very intriguing, because you don't know really what side they're going with. Are they just attacking heels? Are they gonna, or just, I mean, just baby faces? Or are they going to go after everyone in the women's division and, you know, do that kind of deal where, yeah, they're like the Shield? I I guess I kind of dig that they surrounded the ring again, too, but they didn't jump up on the ropes, really. They just kind of leaned in there. So it's very Shield-esque. I can't hear you, PC. There he goes.
Oh, sorry about that, dude.
I don't know about that, dude.
Technical difficulties here on the DW podcast. No, my point was, do we see Asuka now win the title at Royal Rumble and Paige takes it from her at WrestleMania? Are these early seeds of what we could be seeing? Because if you think that we're going to have the Four Horsewomen versus the UFC Four Horsewomen, then that takes all of those people out of title pictures, right?
Right.
So Asuka Paige is a huge match. That's the biggest women's match you could have if you take away Sasha, Bayley, Charlotte, and Becky.
Where's Nia Jax fit into that picture? That was kind of our talk ever, you know, until Paige showed up here. Our talk's been Nia Jax, Asuka, WrestleMania.
Nia Jax moves to SmackDown and takes on Natty for the SmackDown Women's Championship. That's the biggest match I can make with the women remaining.
Sure. You got Alexa Bliss still on Raw. She's going to need a spot somewhere. It's tough.
I don't know about that, dude.
Gotta say.
I don't know.
Sometimes you get to carry the gym. You get to carry, you know, you get to run the court.
Yeah. Well, you know, she said
all year until the most important day, and that's where you give back.
Could see her drop the title at Royal Rumble. Maybe she drops it to Asuka at the Rumble, or to Paige at the Rumble, and then Paige takes it from Asuka at WrestleMania, or Asuka takes it from Paige at WrestleMania. You could go, yeah. I could definitely
special guest referee spot.
Oh, sure.
Haven't done that in a while.
Sure, they could even
the women's side.
They could even drop it as a triple threat. You could even do it as a triple threat if you wanted.
DPP, let's get into a topic very fond to your heart. Oh, Matthew boy. Hardy.
Yeah?
Yes!
Yeah?
Talk to me about the possibility that seems to be happening of broken Matt Hardy coming to Raw.
Oh, I'm so excited. I got to play a new sound effect just for you. It's a little combination.
Yes! Delete! Yes! Delete! Yes! Delete! Yes!
Delete! To me, it looks like a good arm workout.
I almost kind of popped my shoulder muscle on that one. I don't know about that, brother. You know, it looks like this is the beginning of his change to a broken, or based on like his Twitters, could it be a woken theme or something? I guess I don't know if they're going with the same exact thing, but it seems to be that's the kind of the story they're telling here. And maybe they're jumping the gun on it. You know, I think they had it planned at some point and they kind of are expediting it with the Jeff Hardy injury and they need to bring it going here. So I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be entertaining.
I have the perfect storyline for the Hardys as we move into WrestleMania, because Jeff Hardy won't be ready pretty much until just before, before WrestleMania. So I'm thinking, what if we do something where Matt Hardy gets a little run? Maybe he takes that title off of Roman Reigns, right? No harm, no foul there.
Sure.
And at that point, we see Jeff Hardy come back and slowly be like, I never really liked this part of you. You know, I kind of played along before. And that's where we get to a Matt versus Jeff WrestleMania match. Ooh. How do you feel about that?
Delete! Delete! Delete!
I don't understand if that's good or bad in that situation.
Well, neither do I. That's kind of where I stand with that.
Or is that match obsolete?
Oh.
I don't know about that, dude.
Okay, let's get into the meat and potatoes of Raw.
I thought granted, that was the meat and potatoes.
The last topic we talked about. But Roman Reigns defending that Intercontinental Championship against Elias, no longer Samson.
What's his name?
My name is Elias.
My name is Elias? All right.
Yeah, it used to be Elias Sampson, right?
It did used to be Elias Sampson. They just decided to
just like
cut
it used to be Antonio Cesaro.
Out!
Antonio Cesaro.
Oh, God, you remember that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How'd
you like the whole interaction throughout the evening between Elias and the Miztourage, along with Roman Reigns starting the show and the Intercontinental match? How did you feel about all of this going on?
I thought,
along with that musical performance and harmonica.
Hey,
harmonicas,
man,
on display.
I did not know. The Miztourage,
Bo Diddley Dallas, and Curtis Axel Rose. Ring the fucking bell. God damn, I'm good today. Sesquicentennial, bitch.
Nerds.
thank you, Ganderson. Mainly get the gallows.
The gallows, yeah. Nerd. That was pretty awesome.
Hey,
I'll tell you.
Hey Luke. Who goes to the gallows?
Nerds.
Yeah, fuck yeah, they do. Go ahead, DPP.
I'll tell you what. That's got to be the biggest pop Reigns has gotten since he's been shoved down our throats. So, you know, it was pretty awesome.
He got choked up and allowed to actually speak about it.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. You know, and I think we've said this for a while. If you just got a chance to just loosen up and just talk shit and not have a dialogue that he really had to go with, he seems just a ton more comfortable. And I think he's having a shit ton of fun right now, and it's perfect. And it sounds like he's trying to start an open challenge with this IC title if they continue to do what... Kind of, he said, you know, he basically did the "if you want some, come get some" line. But I'm perfectly down with that because, you know, Reigns can put on amazing matches and he can do this kind of thing where he makes a guy like Elias. And Elias has been, you know, doing very well, but he made him look like $1 million. And right now he makes him look like a huge contender for titles. And it's great for guys like that.
I'm on the Elias train. I'll tell you right now.
I started off
surprised because I was not a big fan, but now I'm getting it. He's good.
When I saw him,
he's good. He's got a great look. He's very good on the mic. And he's getting better in the ring. You see him collar and elbow lock up with Reigns, and there's power there, right? He got respect from Reigns. Reigns didn't push him back. He's a big dude.
He's a big
guy. He can move. So he can just continue to get better and have matches with better opponents. That's going to make him have better matches with people that he needs to take to the next level. And that's truly what makes you a better superstar, is the fact that not only can you have great matches with other great superstars, you can have great matches with superstars who need you to bring them up to that level. Haven't quite reached that level yet,
and he's at that point where he's getting to that level slowly, and a guy like Reigns is going to help catapult that, you know, that ability from him. And, you know, I said it, I don't know if I ever said it on the podcast, but when I saw him a while back when he was in NXT and he was starting to do that bit, and, you know, he was still pretty green, but I saw something in him. I'm like, you know, he could be really good. I love the gimmick. That gimmick is great. And, you know, it's, you know, I was just waiting for him to get called up, and now it's just working really well right now.
Completely agree. I'm going to let you have the last word on this entire topic and answer the question, how does Roman Reigns lose the Intercontinental Championship without looking bad as he moves towards a WrestleMania spot to win the title against Brock Lesnar?
Ooh, brother. Ooh, I get to play armchair quarterback now. Well, I will stick with exactly what I was at Hop Revolver IPA.
Before you get to that answer, DPP, let's do it. Let's do it right now. Let's play What You Drinking.
Drink it in, man.
Man, I love that song. And I love this beer. Yeah, I love this brewing company.
Yes, you do, huh?
Stone Brewing Company out of California. They got a nice IPA 12-pack, and it's four different beers actually. So it's a sampler pack, and I love it. Right now I'm on the Hop Revolver IPA. I think it's 7.7%. They do random single hop, and then they rotate the hops when they do another batch and things of that nature in the tank. So fully loaded with Simcoe. The Simcoe hops, but Stone Hop Revolver IPA. I'm loving every minute of it.
Nice, nice. I have, I do have to work tomorrow, so I have a good.
So do I.
I have a good bottle of the Doctor here. It's a Dr. Pepper, brother. So
there you go.
That's my
DPP works at what 8-9 tomorrow.
Oh, dude, 6:30.
6:30. Got to be in at work morning, at 6:30.
Got to be in to work at 6:30 in the morning.
All right, and I don't work till 5 p.m. tomorrow, so that's kind of how I don't work. But I do.
Oh, well, yeah, but you're working. Yeah, you're working late. You got the third shift going on.
That's rough. A little inventory.
That's okay though. You get a Friday off then, kind of.
Yeah.
You get to sleep in. Yeah. You know.
So it won't be bad. It won't be bad. We might together have some drinks.
We might actually. We might have a good World's Greatest Tag Team Never Drinking Party on Friday, as we do some more setup for the podcast, brother.
Periscope Twitter live podcast.
Yeah,
Friday, random live podcast Friday. So maybe check that out. Check out for more details we'll on see. That. Check keep out that podcast DWI.
Keep an eye on Twitter.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, another rousing edition of What You Drinking here on the podcast, known as DWI. DPP, answer that question about Roman Reigns and the IC title.
Oh, yeah. For a second there, I thought I was taking a walk with Elias. What I am going to say is I'm going to stick with what I said last week, and I would love to see IC champion Roman Reigns versus Universal champion Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, title for title. We haven't seen it, and I don't know if it's been done since Hogan Warrior. I can't remember. I don't think so. So we've seen
U.S. versus WWE champion.
I don't think both titles have been on the line at WrestleMania.
Yeah, Seth Rollins won the U.S. title. Oh, not at WrestleMania. Yes,
not at the WrestleMania. I don't think so.
Sorry. WrestleMania. No.
He was U.S. champion when he won. Yeah, he was world champion and won the U.S. title. That's right. But I think this could be a really cool moment, and two of the biggest, you know, top names in the industry right now. I think it'd be a badass match, and it'd be intriguing.
I couldn't agree more.
Oh, and then it could start off just a wonderful IC title tournament afterwards that could culminate at a good pay-per-view. Yeah, now we're talking. Yeah.
Ring the fucking bell.
Let's do it,
Let's
baby.
On to the next subject. Enough said. Way to dominate, DPP. I'm gonna go to you.
It's like 150 episodes.
I'm going to get your opinion solely here. The end of the show, Kane versus Jason Jordan, count out, then versus Finn Balor, DQ, and then Braun seeks revenge. DBP, speak on that for a little bit, huh?
So do I need to speak more? Jason Jordan, I don't know what long con they're playing here with Jason Jordan, that he keeps playing off the injury thing here and you know, keeps telling Kurt that he's going to be fine, you know, his kayfabe dad or whatever you want to call it. You know, I don't know what they're doing with this whole thing, what they're going to do with Jason Jordan eventually turning on Kurt Angle, or, you know, him getting fed up with him saying he's fine and then keep getting injured every match. But whatever, that wasn't the story here. You know, we had Kane and Finn Balor going at it again, which could have been really cool, but then once again, Finn Balor gets his ass beat. So, you know, it obviously was a DQ and he got crushed with the chair. So I don't know if we're going to see the demon Finn Balor versus the demon Kane. Could be interesting. But we've also got our good buddy Braun Strowman, who is also part of this, as he comes back.
Yeah!
After getting hit in the throat last week. And he returns the favor to Kane and gives him a chair shot to the throat. So it's basically the same thing done 2 weeks in a row. I don't know. Did it make Strowman or did it seem like it wasn't that big of a deal because Strowman came back 1 week after he got a chair shot to the throat? I don't know. It's weird what they're doing with these guys. Is going to lead to just a chairs match between Strowman and Kane, since, you know, Kane dumped the whole string of chairs on him at whatever that pay-per-view was. You know, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing with this whole story. This
TLC.
Is all over the place. Oh, yeah, because there were chairs. Hey, yeah, brother. So, I don't know where they're going with Kane, Strowman, and Balor right now. It just seems... Everything seems so clustered between these three guys. I'd like to see more from Finn. I'd still on board with, you know, moving him to SmackDown or something and give him another... Give him something fresh to do. He just doesn't seem to fit
here.
In.
Lateral move here. Who's Brock Lesnar's opponent for Royal Rumble? And does he even have an opponent at Royal Rumble for the title now?
I don't think he has one.
For me, I know that he's going to be the champion at WrestleMania, and I know he's going to be fighting Roman Reigns. I don't know if Roman Reigns is going to win there or the next night on Raw or at the next pay-per-view, but I know that match is going to happen. So why not don't even give me him at the Royal Rumble, because that's fine. No big deal to me. Your thoughts?
I was going to say something similar to that, where is he even going to, you know, I've heard some things that he may not even have a title match at Royal Rumble. So, and I agree with you. We're all expecting Reigns, Lesnar at WrestleMania. So no matter who you throw in there, you know where he's going to beat. So why feed Finn Balor or anybody to him?
Put him in the Royal Rumble and have a stipulation that you want me to compete at the Royal Rumble. Well, then I'm going to be in the Royal Rumble. And if I win it, I get to pick my opponent at WrestleMania.
Would certainly give a change to that. I think we might.
Let's move. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, as far as the Reigns thing, I think, or the Lesnar's opponent thing, I think we might see Samoa Joe take that IC title off Reigns at some point before too long, if that's the way they're going too. So,
and that's the other idea I missed actually from Raw, was that Samoa Joe came out and that could very well be the guy who wins that title from him.
That's probably gonna be what happens. I'd love to see my idea for WrestleMania, but I think that's probably what's gonna happen, and that could be awesome. I mean, Samoa Joe kicking ass with the IC title, holy shit.
Joe versus Miz WrestleMania for the IC title.
Ooh. I get it.
On that note, DPP, I feel like enough is enough, and it may be time for a change.
Enough is enough, and it's time for a change!
Well, goddamn it, Owen, if you feel that way, let's move on to SmackDown, for Christ's sake. Who am I to deny Owen Hart of what he wants? The Blue Blazer, if you will. Ooh. Ring the bell for Owen Hart, and what an amazing talent, and goddamn it, we miss you, Owen. We don't talk enough about you. You did amazing things. SmackDown Live. Can we just drop the live already? Everybody knows that it's live.
Please.
And it's SmackDown. And if you're not a wrestling fan, you don't really care. So.
Right. Yeah, I don't think we need to know that. Well, after SmackDown Live, I'm going to watch Ring of Honor taped. You know. And New Japan on Demand.
Well, there you go. Well done. For real this time, Dynamite drop in, DPP. Dynamite fucking drop in.
Dynamite,
the New Day with pancakes.
School has really paid off.
Yes, thank you, Bob.
Oh, boy.
The New Dicks with the New Dicks. The New Dicks with Panday and Tall.
Who?
It was almost like that was planned, but it wasn't. It was planned by the Stone Brewery.
Oh, boy.
The New Day with pancakes in tow come to the ring. How did you feel if the kid got a box of pancakes dumped on his face?
What the fuck?
The kid's like, God damn it. He used to like pancakes.
Now
he can't stand them. And let's talk about, did Byron Saxton really eat Big E's pants cakes?
Pants cakes. You know, he probably did. I think he probably did.
Corey was like, don't eat those. I dare you to eat those. And I think Tom Phillips was like, don't eat those. Man. Wait, is the syrup supposed to be warm right now?
Oh, God. That's late on that one.
So I thought we were moving towards a Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin matchup at Clash of Champions for the title against the Usos, and then the New Day comes out and wins this match.
Yeah, but you've been mistaken, sir. Yeah, I don't know. Did they get their tag title match? Then weren't they supposed to get one last week or something? As I know, they didn't get it last week.
And that they were supposed to get a tag title match. That's why they lost to the New Day.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, maybe they decided they wanted.
They're gonna go back and look at the Big Show sheet.
Oh yeah. I'm looking at the SmackDown notes from last week, and there was no title match that I wrote down. So.
No.
I don't know about that, dude. No.
Whoop. What?
What?
What? What? What? What? Hold on, let me put my hearing aid in. What? What? All right, let's get to... let's just move on, because we're not really sure what's going on.
I don't know what's happening here.
Because I think we may be making way for the Bludgeon Brothers.
Oof.
Our next topic here on the podcast, known as DWI. First of all, give me your thoughts on the Bludgeon Brothers, because I tweeted out the other day, hey, let's take Rowan and Harper and sprinkle a little War Machine on them and put them in these ridiculous outfits and give them sledgehammers, and then we'll just send them out to the ring. And everybody will forget it all about the Wyatt family.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. And that's exactly what they did, isn't it? I mean, they look like War Machine. They really do.
With Kane outfits. Do you not get the War Machine vibe?
Oh, big time.
Like War Machine / Kane. Like, well, and that's what Dave from the Attitude of Aggression said, right? And it's like, yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing here. That's what it seems like. And you can't with those two guys. You know exactly who they are. And you didn't change anything. You didn't change their look. They still got the beards and everything. And it's still the Wyatt family guys, as far as I'm concerned. And
do you think the better way to go would have been to take Harper and Rowan and just bring them out as Harper and Rowan in the plainest thing that didn't recollect anything what they had been in before? Like, give them, I don't know, what could you give them, like Kevin Nash outfits with like dark pants and singlets going up over the top.
I think
them into the big guys. They're Rowan and Harper. They don't need another gimmick. Just get in the fucking ring.
Right. I agree. They're, you know, and a guy like Harper has been amazing on and singles and everything. And I think they'd have been better off just, yeah, giving them a generic look and just have them be, yeah, giant dominating wrestlers like they should be. You don't need a gimmick for guys like that. You just go out there and kick everybody's ass. It certainly would have been better, honestly, than what they're doing right now. So far.
Talk to me about the other half of what happened in this matchup. Mojo turning on Ryan.
Oh, Mojo. You know, well, it was quite a while in the making. They teased this since, jeez, I don't even remember when they first started teasing. It's been so long. You know, I think it's fine. They weren't going to do anything with them as a tag team. Ryder's excellent in the ring. I think he can be great as a singles competitor. And Mojo, when Ryder was hurt, Mojo stepped up, man. And you know, you had him win the Andre the Giant, or the Andre Memorial Giant Battle Rumble. You know, you gave
Andre
him
the Royal Giant Memorial Battle Rumble.
There you go.
Thank you, Mike, man. Shout out to Mike, man, here on the sesquicentennial edition of the DWI podcast. And yeah, I can say that 2 and 3 beers in.
Woo! So, you know, you gave him that big stage at WrestleMania to win whoop, whoop, brother.
That was one of my favorite takeaways from the 30 for 30 was the woo, 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 woo. I forgot about the build-up woo.
Yeah. So, I think, you know, and he was getting a decent push there as a singles competitor with Ryder Hurt. So I could, you know, have him be a heel for a while, and he could definitely be a great mid-carder right now, depending on what they do with him, and give him some more experience as a singles competitor. He did really well on his own, I thought. So let's give him a shot and see how he does. They need some more mid-carders on SmackDown, I think. And, you know, Kim versus Baron Corbin, you know, a U.S. title run or anything like that. Could be pretty intriguing, I think.
To me, I feel like he needs to be repackaged, his look. He's really good on the mic, in my opinion. He needs his look repackaged, and he needs to come up with a little bit better in-ring performance schedule, if you will. He needs to have a little bit better moveset, a way he's going to work in the ring. I feel like Daniel Bryan is a guy who could easily mentor Mojo into a guy who could be a world championship contender. He's a big guy. He's a former Division I athlete, is he not?
Sure. Didn't he played football and everything too? So
exactly. So well, here's the scene. What happens here? I really like the decision they made.
I agree. I don't think they were going to do anything with them anymore as a tag team. Give him a shot again at singles. I think he did really great before. Let him be a heel and, you know, and see where he goes. Like, absolutely.
Speaking of the World Heavyweight Championship, the WWE World Champion, AJ Styles, would be taking on the Singh Brothers and would defeat them, DPP, in a very dapper suit, if I may say so myself.
Woo-hoo.
Jinder Mahal. And I've seen multiple people on the Twitter enjoying Jinder Mahal's suit. He looked good in that suit. Just talk to me about the suit, by the way. He looked good in the fucking suit, right?
Was that was
a
nice
suit. I'm like, I want
checkered,
that suit.
The checkered, what was it, whitish kind of? It wasn't white, but it was like a...
It was like a
dark
beige-ish gray
beige,
with white striping
on it. With
the
checkered
stripe. Really interesting. It was like pinstriped and then a cross stripe at the same time.
It was
excellent.
It was checkered, but not plaid. It was just a black striped checker pattern that looked... he looked badass in that suit, I tell you. That was the first thing I noticed. He got in the ring, I'm like, woo, look at that suit.
And at the same time, he's got the bird's nest going on, but the hair looks great otherwise. Like, I'm not judging because I also have a bird's nest, but... I'm not on WWE television.
That's true. Yeah, he's got some wicked hair going on. He's been growing it out, so I dig the look. It looked good. He looked good.
I've never marked out more for Jinder. So I enjoyed the suit. I even had to tell the godfather of thechairshot.com, Greg DeMarco. the CEO, if you will. Let's not call him the godfather.
Yeah.
There's only one
godfather
but the
already.
CEO
brother.
Of thechairshot.com. We'll get to the chair shot later on in the show. But Greg DeMarco, yeah, he enjoyed that I actually liked something about Jinder Mahal. So now, here's the big question. I think we all thought that AJ was going to beat the Singh Brothers. The attack afterwards, again, are we setting it up? Is it over, or is it a continuation of the setup to Jinder leaving the Singh Brothers behind? Because personally, I think the Singh Brothers could be a hell of a face tag team.
I think they could be a fun heel or face tag team. I don't think
but
they
coming have... off of a Jinder getting
well,
rid of them as a heel?
Sure, if he's going to dump them, then absolutely they'll be a baby face. But I think they could easily do it with him still part of their group. You know, them two starting to wrestle tag team matches would have been great. I would have loved to have seen them actually wrestle some matches with some other tag teams, but they haven't really done that yet. And if this is going to be the end, which, geez, yeah, he keeps attacking him, it sure seems like it's just time for that to happen. They're going to turn on him, maybe at the next pay-per-view. They cost him the title or something like that, or turn on him after the match is over. That's probably what's going to happen. They'll turn on him after the match is over. And they could be, I think they're going to be awesome. They take amazing bumps. And I'm sure you're going to mention this, the bump that they took in this match, but they take amazing bumps, you know.
Go ahead.
When you've seen it, how about that Styles clash from the second rope on top of the other Singh brother? Holy shit!
Yeah, I threw it out on Twitter when I watched it. I watched SmackDown a little bit late, but at the same time, wow, that was like a Styles clash Singh brother splash.
Hey, nice. Well done, brother. Yeah, well, that was badass.
Well, I don't know about that, dude.
Okay, let's move over to the women's division again and talk about the other trio. I know we did touch on them a little bit, but they would actually come out and, you know, dominate this match. I mean, Charlotte, they would go over on Charlotte.
Amazing. Well, it was a 3-on-2 after Natty decided she didn't want to play with the girls.
Correct.
But yeah,
that was to be expected.
I kind of figured something was going to happen. Why was she going to be part of that group or part of that team?
And Charlotte. Before we get into the storyline, apparently WWE.com is reporting that Naomi has injuries that will cost her to miss some action. Do we think this is time off or literal or storyline?
You know, I don't know. Is she part of... No, that's Becky Lynch that's in the movie with The Miz. So Becky Lynch is going to miss some time, but I don't know if Naomi's in that movie too. I can't remember.
She's also known for a lot of the music things and her dancing and her choreography stuff. So yeah, maybe she's in a music video or something like that too. I don't know.
I hope
she's not actually injured. I don't think she is.
Yeah.
But this could also be part of the storyline.
Yeah. I would think maybe it's part of the storyline from the Riot Squad, if you want to call them that now.
There you go. Thank you very much.
You know, that they, took her out of action or something, and then she makes a big comeback later and gets a feud going with Ruby Riott or Sarah, you know, one of the three or something like that. Maybe that could be
big night for Sarah Logan.
Yeah,
matching up with Charlotte right there, right? I mean, come on, that's someone that can't get bigger than that. Build of her too. They match up well size wise together. That's someone who matches up with Charlotte athletically and vertically.
Yeah, and if you've seen any of Sarah Logan from the NXT days, you know, she had some stints there a little bit, you know, and then was part of the Mae Young Classic. I think she got knocked out in the first round, but she had an amazing match, and she looks really... Actually, I think she made it to the second round. But she looks, you know, looked really good there, and she's gotten better every time I've seen her, so I'm hoping they do something with these women and they keep it going, because it's awesome to have more on the roster than just the five or six that they've had, so... It's a good thing. And especially get to work with someone like Charlotte. Man, you're going to look really fucking good.
Before we move on to the next topic, Women's Royal Rumble, this coming Royal Rumble. Yes or no, DPP?
Oh, I think you know my answer.
Yes, you want it? And yes, is it going to happen?
Yes!
Yes.
And all the way around?
Yes. I only got one yes out of
that. How many women?
I'm thinking 20. You got
over the top rope or just out of the ring?
Got to be over the top rope, I think.
Or over the middle rope.
Don't do the middle rope. I think that's degrading them at this point. You got to go over the top rope. That's my personal opinion.
Fashion Files, DPP. That's what I want to get into right now. Sawed edition.
Tell me about it, PC.
My question, no. And I like this one, actually. I thought that was kind of funny and cool the way they did it. Because at first when it came on and it was sawed, I'm like, oh, geez, really? Okay, here we go. But then I was like, that was pretty good. It will be even better if I get the Ascension repackaged a different way. Like, that was the end of the Ascension. Keep them off until after the Royal Rumble and bring them out as... just Connor and Victor as wrestlers, because the Ascension is, besides being in the Fashion Files, is pretty much done.
They were done for quite a while, I think. So, that'd be cool watching them when Fandango left them to die in the poison smoke. That was pretty awesome. Yeah, that would be cool if they. I would love to see them repackaged, because I think if you leave them as the Ascension, the crowd's not going to love them, because they've disliked that whole gimmick since they came up to the main roster. You got to do something different with them if you want them to excel at some point, because they are good wrestlers. It's just, unfortunately, the main roster crowd did not go for the gimmick. So that'd be pretty awesome if they repackaged them. I'm with you. That'd be a great idea.
Completely agree. Last note on SmackDown Live, Orton versus Owens. Talk to me about the match. And then give me your take on the whole Shane and Daniel Bryan situation with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
It's interesting. The match was all right. You know, I think we kind of saw where it was going with the whole adding the disqualification and the ban from ringside. You knew Sami was going to get involved, and I thought they did that really well. And if anybody else saw the incredibly... gentle chair shot that Sami Zayn gave Randy Orton. It was pretty funny. I don't know if anybody else saw it, but I noticed him just really nice soft touch on one of the smacks to the back on the in the on the ring, yeah, on the ramp there.
It was almost as bad as Kane's first chair shot on Braun Strowman on Monday night.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty funny. But you know, they did what they did, and the storyline continues. You know, I don't know where they're going with this. I don't know. They still got a long ways to go. There's a couple ways I think you would go with it. I said last week about trading Zayn and Kevin Owens to Raw.
I got to cut you off, DPP, because I mentioned Braun Strowman, and I think it's time for everybody's favorite DWI podcast segment right here on the Sesquicentennial Edition. And it's going to be a special edition of Braun Strowman's favorites. Boy, he did it for me once, so I'll do it for him once. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the sensation that's sweeping the nation. It's Braun's favorite. Good God, I apologize, Platt. Shout out to Christopher Platt.
Yes, sir.
The third leg of the DWI podcast. He very well may be joining us before the night is done. But right now, he is hard at work on assignment. As they would say in radio world.
On assignment, yeah. He's out in the field gathering stories.
So on a special edition of Braun Strowman's Favorites, I will be giving DPP a Braun Strowman's Favorites question.
Wow!
Yeah. That's right.
Interesting.
So DPP, this week on Braun Strowman's Favorites, we're going to explore Braun Strowman's favorites in the world of food, specifically Mexican food, which I'm a big fan of. Me some Mexican food.
Tacos y burritos.
Love me some tacos. Love me some burritos. Love me some tostadas. My goodness, tamales. All of that. You know, enjoying the rice and the beans and the flavors and everything that's going on. Right, tortillas. Don't mind the corn tortillas, but bigger fan of the flour tortillas.
I think I like the flour overall better. Depends.
But I enjoy me a corn tortilla.
I like the corn tortilla with the chorizo, like a breakfast chorizo and egg.
Oh my goodness, the chorizo sausage is the best. Yeah. It's the best. With the eggs and everything.
Yeah. All right.
Let's get to it. Braun Strowman's favorite Mexican dish.
Sean Connery's favorite Mexican dish. Oh man,
the hop revolver right now is kicking in.
I don't know about this one. Let's see.
Four syllables.
Four syllables. Is it a? Well, let's see.
The go one. Home is not in the last syllable.
Oh, that's interesting. That changes things. Shit. It's the end of Braun Strowman's favorites, ladies and gentlemen. Moving on.
Good day. Luckily for you,
on to the next segment.
You control the music.
I'm blanking on this one. This is not good. My only time I get a segment, and I'm going 0 for 1.
I can tell you that two consonants start the word.
No, that's only three syllables. What? Three consonants start the word?
Two.
Well, you already said chimichangas, so I don't think it's that. That's way too many syllables. Four syllables, yeah.
It's four syllables.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's chimichanga.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, damn it!
That yet.
I was that?
Yeah, you damn didn't it. Guess it yet.
I didn't guess it. All right, well.
My guess. So, let me ask you one more time.
So give me the Greg DeMarco treatment.
What is your favorite Mexican dish?
Well, I believe it's chimichangas.
You goddamn right it is.
I was going to say fajitas.
And that's also possible, though.
Because I was going to ask if it was a hot dish, but that's pretty much every Mexican dish is a hot dish. So
you've been enjoying another round of Braun Strowman's favorites right here on the DWM podcast. All right, DPP, get back to your thoughts. Orton Owens, Shane Daniel Bryan situation with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Hey, I got to turn off Braun Strowman's favorites.
You'll get there.
There we go. All right. So, yeah, so other than a trade, I want to ask you this question. It's too far away for WrestleMania, I think. Maybe not. What would you think about Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan?
Oh, boy, I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're more likely to see Sami and Kevin Owens start getting into that tag team division. I don't know. Do you think Daniel Bryan's going to come back already before WrestleMania?
That's what I mean.
That's a WrestleMania thing. No, I don't see Daniel Bryan
before. Hang on a second.
If we even see Daniel Bryan.
I had to play the ending.
No, I love the ending.
Yeah, I was kind of on that same boat. It's too far away from WrestleMania. I think you don't see him before that. So that's why I didn't think it might happen, but on board.
You could see Shane and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania.
There you go. There you go.
That's a great way to end SmackDown notes right there, folks. We got one thing left here on the 150th edition of the podcast known as DWI. And before we get to that, just want to say a big thank you to everybody that has been involved in the DWI podcast. You know who you are, and we do thank you very much. DPP! Last call. Last call. Alcohol. What do you mean it's last call? I mean, we got some breaking news here on the DWI podcast. As of January 1st, well, officially January 5th will be the first day, the DWI podcast will be exclusively to Bruce City Wrestling. And DPP and myself, PC Tunney, along with The Real C. Platt, and Aesop Mitchell, you will see us on Chairshot Radio as we join the network known as thechairshot.com. You can find everything, all of your wrestling needs, news, notes, opinions, podcasts, all at thechairshot.com right now. Chairshot Radio will kick in the new year. You're going to have 5 nights of new or live content. 5 different podcasts, Monday through Friday. Something very new and unique to the podcasting world, to the podcasting network that we're going to bring, along with the opinions and the writing side of thechairshot.com. Thursday nights, we're also going to bring in the most unique part of it, and it's going to be a sports night. So you can check all that stuff out. It's coming, thechairshot.com. Follow at thechairshot.com, follow at Chairshot Radio. That's where you're going to check us out. And DPP, myself, and Christopher Platt, along with Aesop Mitchell, will be known as Chairshot Radio come the new year.
Ooh, here we go.
That's right, DPP. Give everybody your thoughts on the move we're making and what they can expect.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be very different. We're going to try and do more live content, on Facebook Live, on the Chair Shot. We're going to do
Periscope sports. On Twitter.
We're going to be doing not just wrestling. I mean, the flagship show will be wrestling. We're going to have sports. We're going to have different types of podcasts. Podcast.
That's going to be the big sports podcast on Thursdays, along with the Daily Dozen.
We're going to have some special little short episodes, as you mentioned, the Daily Dozen and others to come. I mean, it's going to be incredible. It's going to be huge. All your content's going to be in one place. You can go on thechairshot.com and get some great articles, great opinions.
There's also going to be specialty shows too, and different people that are going to have monthly or twice monthly shows, movies, entertainment, music, collectibles, comics. You name it, we're going to have people that are going to be on top of everything that's going on in the world of pop culture, mainly focusing, though, on the wrestling.
That's right. The bulk of it will be wrestling, but we're going to have content for everybody. It's going to be incredible. And it's just, it's going to be quite an undertaking, and you know, it's good. Yeah, it's gonna be
glorious.
There you go.
So folks, check out thechairshot.com. Check out thechairshot.com on Twitter and Chairshot Radio on Twitter. Okay, it's gonna be big. We got a bunch of podcasts lined up. We got a bunch of content lined up. You can already go to the website and check out a lot of the podcasts and all the writing, all the opinions and the news and the notes that's on thechairshot.com. It's pretty spectacular.
It's amazing. And we'll have, you know, on some of our episodes, we may have some of these writers on our show to talk about, an extension of their opinions. We're going to have many more guests, different wrestlers, we may have sports guests. It may, it's going to be all over the place. It's going to be amazing.
So look for new and bigger things to come. But folks, there will also be special editions of the DWI podcast. So don't worry. All you fans of the DWI podcast, check out Chairshot Radio. Check out thechairshot.com. But no, you're not losing us. You're getting even more.
Right. Come along with us on this wonderful journey.
Who wants to walk with Chairshot Radio?
Drink it in, man.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, DPP, we did it again. Sesquicentennial edition of the DWI podcast. I'm going to let you have the last thoughts as we wrap up another edition here.
The last thoughts. I always get the last thoughts. I'm just going to reiterate, 150 episodes has been amazing. It's been amazing to work with you, my brother from another mother.
Right back at you, bro.
And, we're not going away. We're expanding, and it's amazing to see this grow into a network that we kind of never, we never thought that was going to happen. We were just doing it for the funsies of it. So again, come along with us on this journey. Walk with the DWI podcast to Chairshot Radio, as PC Tunney said, and just enjoy the ride, brother.
That's what I'm talking about. Special shout out to the Mike Man, to the General, to Satchel McFlippins, and everybody that's been on the DWI podcast. Aesop Mitchell, Christopher Platt, Greg DeMarco, Big Dave, Mike Klinko. Good God, I'm missing a whole bunch of people, but we love y'all. Tommy Rich, obviously, the Godfather, Frankie the Thumper DeFalco, Max Holiday, Aesop Mitchell, the Beer City Bruiser, Stacey Jake Roberts, Sin Bodhi, D'Lo Brown.
Yes.
Good grief. Who am I missing? The Priest, Stacy Shadows, Roadhouse. Good grief. Paulie Tomaselli, The Mouth of the Midwest, JP. The Real, Sierra, Dysfunction. Those two got it going on right now. I mean, come on now. Folks, for everything you need, just stay tuned in right here, whether it's DWI Podcast or if you decide that you want to walk with Chairshot Radio, we'll be here for you. My name is PC Tunney. I am joined, as always, once again, by the man they call. It's him. It is him. It doth be DPP. He is your inebriator in the era of awesome, and I am slightly inebriated. And you've been listening to another edition of the podcast known as
DW.
Hey, what the fuck? Really? 150th goddamn episode, and y'all melon farmers don't even put me on the melon farmer? What's that about?
I sent you a DM. And it didn't go through. And I got the thing back, and I was like, "Oh man!" And then I got work tomorrow, and
you sent me a DM.
You're here now.
You sent me a DM. Yes, no thanks to you.
Well, it's better than a BM. I could have sent you a BM. What do you want?
I'm coming paper bags.
I guess you got a point there, but still, man. Goddamn 150th episode, man. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm excited about it. I knew it was 150. I got my libations. I got my stogie. I got my sarsaparillas in the house, man. I was ready to get down.
You know what? You have your time right now, CP, and tell everybody how you're feeling, because I feel like, you got your libations and your greetings and salutations, so make it happen.
That's not bad for a white guy, man. That was all right. That was passing. Way to go, man. How long you been working on that one?
Just came to me, brother. That's how I go. 4 IPAs later. That's how my brain works.
He's got a cheat sheet with like 15 different phrases. He's trying to put shit together.
It's a checklist.
Like, okay, cat, hat. No, that's terrible. That's not going to work.
The Big Show sheet. Speaking of, it's like over an arm's length away, and I'm over three beers in, so there's no way I'm getting up to grab it. But CP, God damn it, it's good to talk to you, my friend. And give everybody your take on what's going on in wrestling right now here on the sesquicentennial edition of the DWI podcast. Yeah, DPP hasn't said it right yet.
No.
Somebody's got a word of the day calendar. Good for you.
I had to write it out in phonetics because I can't sesquicentennial. So, yeah. There you go.
That sounds like a threesome with Octomom.
That's like a 24-some if you do the math.
Say, we all just sucking our titties like cows on the pedestal. Okay. Well, you know, man, I'm not going to lie to you guys, man. As of right now, WWE doesn't give a damn about their product, so why should I? At this point, we're pretty much just treading water until the Royal Rumble, and we all know it. They've got to do something to fill the TV time, and I mean, they filled the TV time, so there's that. But you know, it's whatever at this point in time. I am happy that we're finally getting into the I don't know if it's the broken or the woken Matt Hardy saga. So that could be compelling. I don't have high hopes for it because the WWE doesn't really do retreads very well. You know, the club thing didn't work out really, really well. If you go further in history, the NWO thing didn't work out. So, the Goldberg thing didn't even work out initially. So, you know, I don't have high hopes, but I love Matt Hardy, and I'm glad he's going to be able to do some variation on that character. It'll be interesting to see how far they go. The only thing I can think of is maybe because, you know, TNA, Anthem, Global Force, USWA, USB, YMCA, USBB, PPP, OPP, ADD.
What? Only got a couple of those.
Whatever the hell they call themselves. Maybe they're, maybe because they're in Canada, maybe the copyright laws are different or something like that, so they can go forward. But who knows? I don't know. That's about the only thing I'm really interested in right now. Everything else, they're treading water until we get to the Rumble. And we're not, I guess you could say we're at the gas station. We just went into the gas station and we just put 20 on 10 for the as we gas up on the road to WrestleMania.
At least we stopped at a gas station with 10 pumps because you know that means they have a mini grocery store inside. Because you get to them like 6-pump gas stations and God knows, maybe they just have like open cooler of soda and candy bars, and that's no good when you're on a long road trip.
Yeah.
Well, what are you eating from the gas station? You're not the guy that gets those sandwiches, are you?
Tornadoes. You got the hot dog on the roller. You got the.
I'm talking about a gas station that also has liquor in it.
Pizza in a cup.
You know, they have the chip aisle and stuff like that. And up here in Wisconsin, Slim Jim's. The thing about it is at the gas station you can get some good beef sticks and cheese curds. So.
Ooh, yeah.
Step into a Slim Jim.
Step into it, motherfucker.
Well, first and foremost, you do realize those hot dogs have been sitting right there rotating since the Bush administration. And I'm not talking
about those ones on the roller. I'm talking about the ones in the package that are in the cooler.
Just because those hot dogs maybe have fallen on the floor and have like a Band-Aid on them, you know, it's you brush it off, hot you mark it down.
Floor, hot dog on the floor. Looking like a fool with your hot dog on the floor.
Yeah, let's not ever do that again.
Looking like a pimp with your hot dog on the floor.
That's even worse. There's nothing pimpish about having a hot dog on the floor.
I don't know if you're standing up and let the fucking dragon fly and it hits the floor. You're looking like a pimp.
No, you still don't look like a pimp because it's still flat.
You look like a guy with a way too fucking long for breathing.
Yes. Good luck sticking that in any vaginas. Speaking of vaginas, do you want to know how my evening has been? Have you all ever had a conversation with your mother where the words, "Are you guys having sexual intercourse?" have entered the conversation?
I've actually never had that conversation. I think it's always just been assumed.
I have never had that conversation either. I think as far as my mother knows, I'm a virgin.
Well, God bless my mother, but I mean, quite frankly, of course my mother would say that. It's my mother, so, you know, what would you expect, I guess.
So tell us all about that conversation.
Let's not talk about that conversation.
it was not awesome. Awesome. It was hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Well, for those of you that don't know, not to give too many specifics, but for those of you that don't know, Mr. Platt had a bit of a health scare a few weeks back. Everything's all good now, so thank everybody for their support that, you know, sent their well wishes and whatnot. I appreciate that. But one of those complications was the lack of sexual intercourse, so that's why my mother asked the question. So there is context to why she asked the question. It's just still funny as hell
she just
to
wants...
hear your mother ask you if you were having sex.
So now
sex
your lady is obligated to enjoy you.
Well, according to my mother, and I quote, you better tell Amber to get on her job, so yeah.
Hey, your mom wants to know if you're back in the game. That's kind of
Listen, baby, if you're not in love with me anymore, that's okay, but you clearly don't want me to die, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, this is, quite frankly, a matter of life and death at this particular point, so yeah. You know, this concerns national security. This is bigger than both you and me at this particular point in time.
Clear the doublers. The pizza's here, folks.
Oh, gotta clear the pipes too.
There you go.
Yeah, now the pipes getting clogged up, man.
That's true.
Listen, I gotta ask you about one more very important thing on WWE television this week. Jinder Mahal's suit.
You know what? I'm not gonna lie, man. I only caught the tail end of SmackDown, so I missed the Maharaja's. Oh.
Man, I got to tell you. All right, so then, folks, what you
he's
need to do...
He's got a tell of a tailor.
After you listen to this podcast, go to the Twitter and check out the Real C. Platt's reaction to Jinder Mahal's suit on SmackDown, because you'll be able to find it on the internet, or you can go back and rewatch that. But I'm telling you, dapper as hell, my friend. Looking like $1 million with that hair flowing. Regardless of the bird's nest that's up there, he's looking real good. The hair, the suit... was looking good. How do you feel about it? Go ahead.
Jinder's been killing the game for a while, though, man, with the suits, man. He really has.
Oh, he topped himself with this one.
We got to please the CEO and get our quota of Jinder Mahal talking here.
Right?
I kid, Greg. I got to give you shit. All right. Play the last call for CP right here.
The Maharaja shall rise again.
Yeah, right?
He shall rise again. As a matter of fact, I think they're setting up a match between him and Tiger Ali Singh. It's a magic carpet on the pole match for WrestleMania. So we got that.
Jesus Christ, folks. On the DWI podcast, after the DWI podcast, it's last call. Last call. What do you mean it's last call? It's your last call, CP. Take us home.
Hey guys, 150 episodes, man. You know, all jokes aside, man, you guys invited me onto your platform this summer, and I'm excited for what's to come. I owe you guys a debt of gratitude. I really do. I appreciate it. You guys welcomed me with open arms, man. We clicked right away. I've had a great time doing this, man, and congratulations to us, as I pat myself on the back, for reaching 150 episodes. And, you know, let's do 150 more, man. And I'm excited for what the future holds. But again, man, you guys couldn't have been more gracious. You couldn't have been more welcoming. You couldn't have been more open. And I just really appreciate it, man. So thank you guys, man. Seriously.
We appreciate you, man. And proof that we belong together is you had no idea that we bear a Horowitz ourselves earlier in the podcast.
Yeah, we did. You got to pat yourself on the back.
Nice.
You know? I'm with you, Platt. You brought us to another level. You know, just this whole DWI podcast. Since you came on the show, it's been amazing, and it's been just the most incredible episodes we've had, and it's only gotten better every episode, brother.
And like I said, you don't owe us nothing, but we've already told the people what's to come with the chairshot.com and all the things that are going to happen with the weekly lineup. And the fact that the DWI podcast is staying together and going to become the Chair Shot Radio. Who wants to walk with Chair Shot Radio, if you will. I think that's nice. What's going to be happening. Yeah, that's what I'm saying right there. So take us home and tell everybody a little bit about what's to come.
Well, again, man, just stay tuned, man. We're hooking up with Chair Shot Radio. We're going to be one of the flagship shows on Chair Shot Radio. There was a lot of speculation and rumor and innuendo, if you will, about the DWI, us kind of splitting and going our separate ways. However, we've come to an agreement and an understanding, and they understand that they cannot live without me. And so you will be hearing continuously the tones, the sultry tones, if you will, of Mr. Velvet Pipes himself, Christopher D. Platt, baby, right here on the DWI podcast on Chair Shot Radio. So you better have your face in the place, and you better stay tuned because it's going to get greater later, baby.
That's what I'm talking about, folks. Hey, you know what? We already did the traditional DWI podcast close. So why don't you give us the Christopher Platt close? Because this has kind of been an addition of the Christopher Platt show.
You know what's crazy, man? I actually met a young lady today whose legit shoot name is Tristan Thompson. I mean, no. I can't make this shit up, man. I met a Tristan Thompson today, and I told her I need you to stop fucking with Khloe Kardashian and get on them goddamn offensive boards, man.
What did you? Maybe she's going to meet a guy named Kalo Kardashian.
She kind of has to at this point, right?
Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? All right, folks, it's been the sesquicentennial edition of the podcast. Take us away, Platt. Finish it off.
I hate this shit, but fuck it, man. For a $1.50, the podcast known as DWI.
That was a hell of an orgasm.